Good evening. My name is Wally. I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Wally.
Hi, everybody. By the grace of God and the simple program, I've not found it necessary to take a drink since October 30th of 1988, and for that, I am truly grateful. I want to welcome you to Back to Basics, a reenactment of a series of 1940s beginners meetings during which newcomers take all 12 steps and recover from alcoholism. The big book says, here are the steps we took, not here are the steps we sat around and talked about. So we are going to take all 12 steps during the next 4 one-hour sessions. I'd like to open this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
We can use the Serenity Prayer to open our meetings because the Serenity Prayer came to us in 1941 and had been well established within the AA Fellowship by 1946. Again, this is going to be a reenactment of a 1946 AA Beginners Meetings. Okay, let's begin. There was a period in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous when the program produced a 50 to 75% recovery rate from alcoholism. So how can we get reconnected with this miraculous piece of our glorious past? We need to take a trip back in time. As the announcer for the 1940s Lone Ranger radio program used to say, let us return now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. Okay, let's begin. It is the fall of 1946. You have a drinking problem and you telephone Alcoholics Anonymous for help. AA responds by sending two people out to see you. These ex-problem drinkers talk about their personal experiences with alcohol and how they found a way out. They tell you that as part of their recovery, they try to be of service to others. After listening to their stories, you agree to be hospitalized. They take you to a local sanitarium where you are withdrawn from alcohol. The process takes 3 days. During this period of time, you are visited by many of the members of the local AA group. Upon your release, you are assigned a sponsor or sharing partner whose responsibility it is to accompany you to the Alcoholics Anonymous Beginners Meetings. You take all 12 steps in 1 month. Your life changes. You never drink again. Sounds incredibly simple, doesn't it? Well, it was simple and it worked. A's remarkable recovery rate during the 1940s was due in part to these 4 one-hour sessions. For many thousands of alcoholics, the beginners' meetings became the foundation stone of their recovery. So let's imagine it is early evening on a weeknight in a Midwest city. You are sitting at a table in the meeting room of a local church. You have a copy of the book titled Alcoholics Anonymous with you, along with a pencil and paper. The first of the 4 one-hour sessions is about to begin. This meeting is hosted by one of the local AA groups. The leaders are members of the group who have taken the steps and have helped others through them. It is now their turn to conduct the beginners' meetings. The only change we've made to this 1946 AA meeting is to use page numbers from a later edition of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, rather than the page numbers from the first edition, which was in use at that time. Okay? Time travel, 1946. Welcome to the first of the 4 one-hour AA meetings that will change your life. During the next several weeks, you will learn how to recover from the affliction of alcoholism by taking the 12 steps, as described in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous has found an answer to this insidious illness. As members of AA, we are here tonight to share our solution with you, a spiritually based program of action that will remove your compulsion to drink and provide you with a new way of living without alcohol. Our names are Wally and
Brenda,
and we are members of Alcoholics Anonymous. We lead these meetings to help ensure our sobriety. We receive no payment for this service. Our reward is to watch people recover and to see them work with others. We'll begin this session by reading a statement from the book Alcoholics Anonymous.
We are not an organization in the conventional sense of the word. There are no fees or dues whatsoever. The only requirement for membership is an honest desire to stop drinking. We are not allied with any particular faith, sect, or denomination, nor do we oppose anyone. We simply wish to be helpful to those who are afflicted.
The book we are reading from is AA's Textbook for Recovery. It is the only book we'll use during these sessions, except for an occasional reference to an AA pamphlet, newsletter article, or source material used to write the big book. What we just read sums up the AA Fellowship quite well. We are not a religion, and we don't get involved in politics, psychology, or medicine. As the title of the book implies, we are an anonymous society. You can be assured we will protect your anonymity at this and all other meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. We ask that you do the same for us and for everyone else who is here tonight. The Big Book was first published in April of 1939. It was written by several of the first 100 men to recover from alcoholism. Since then, alcoholics all over the world have used the book as the basis for a program of recovery. The original title of the book was 100 Men, because at the time it was written, there were no women on the program. Then Florence R. started attending meetings in New York City, and she stayed sober long enough to convince the men to change the name of the book, which they did. But because the book was so close to publication, the authors didn't have the time to change the contents. Please keep this in mind as you read the big book. It was written by men for men. Now, of course, there are many women on the AA program, but that wasn't the case when the book was first released. So that we can complete each session within an hour and still have ample time for questions, we request that you write down anything that you do not understand or need clarified and save it until the end of the session. We will answer questions at that time. If you cannot find something we say in the big book, consider it to be our point of view rather than fact. We'll do our best to keep our personal opinions out of these presentations. We are here to pass on the AA program as written and practiced by the early members. We are not here to provide you with our interpretation of their program. The beginners' meetings began in the early 1940s when AA started growing so rapidly it became impossible for the older members to individually take new prospects through the steps. The sessions were formalized in a September 1944 pamphlet titled Alcoholics Anonymous, an Interpretation of Our 12 Steps, published by the Washington, D.C. group. Since 1944, this pamphlet has been reprinted throughout the United States. The preface to the pamphlet contains the following.
These meetings are held for the purpose of acquainting both the old and new members with the 12 steps upon which our program is based. So that all 12 steps may be covered in a minimum amount of time, they are divided into four classifications. And one evening each week will be devoted to each of the four subdivisions.
In 1945, The Grapevine, which is a newsletter published by our New York City headquarters, devoted three articles to the beginners' meetings. These articles describe the sessions in St. Louis, Missouri, Rochester, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. Each group has developed its own guidelines for conducting the beginners' meetings. However, all these groups have a common purpose: to provide a safe, structured environment where newcomers learn the principles of AA, take the steps, and have spiritual experiences. In order for the process to work, newcomers need to be matched up with AA members who are willing to guide them through the 4 1-hour sessions. Newcomers do not attend beginners' meetings alone. Their sponsors or sharing partners accompany them to the sessions, so that newcomers and those willing to assist them can better understand what is expected. We are going to explain some of the guidelines for the beginners' meetings. For the newcomer.
1. Your primary obligation is to attend all 4 sessions. If you do not have transportation to the beginners' meetings, your sponsor or sharing partner will help you make the necessary arrangements. 2. We realize some of you are in no condition to read the big book at this time. Therefore, we will read the appropriate parts of the big book to you. For those of you who have brought big books and are able to follow along, please do so. We will announce each passage by page number and paragraph before we read it. If you are unable to read the book, please participate by listening. We will guide you through all 12 steps as written by the big book authors. If you follow their directions, you too will recover from alcoholism. 3. Although a written inventory is part of the 4th step, this doesn't mean you have to do the writing. The person who is sponsoring you through these sessions can either help you write your inventory, or he or she can write it for you.
And for the sponsor or sharing partner.
1. Your time commitment to the newcomer is approximately 4 weeks. After that, both you and the newcomer will be expected to assist others through the Big Book and the 12 Steps. 2. During the next month, call or visit the newcomer frequently to offer encouragement and moral support. 3. Attend the weekly beginner's meetings with the newcomer. 4. Offer to help the newcomer with his or her fourth step. If necessary, write the inventory based on what the newcomer tells you. Remember, the newcomer is still very sick and may not be able to complete the inventory without your assistance. 5. Share your guidance with the newcomer so he or she can see how two-way prayer is working in your life. 6. Answer any questions the newcomer may have about the AA program or the AA way of life.
It is now time to assign sponsors or sharing partners to those who need them. Will the newcomers please stand? These are the people who are here to take the 12 steps during these beginners' meetings. Now, those who do not have a sponsor or sharing partner, please remain standing. Okay, now we would like the sponsors to go ahead and point to a newcomer. Pick somebody that you're going to work with during the next 4 1-hour sessions, and after you have made contact with your sponsor, who you will meet after this session, please be seated. Everybody has a sponsor? Okay, that's the first hurdle. Let's give ourselves a hand. Okay. This is a we program. Nobody takes the steps alone. We are here to help you take the steps along with us. Okay, now we can begin. Let's turn to the foreword of the Big Book, which is on Roman numeral page 13. That's XIII. The first paragraph states,
"We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book."
So, the Big Book authors immediately tell us the purpose of this book is to show us how to recover from alcoholism. This is a revolutionary statement, because before the Big Book was written, there was no hope for alcoholics. Now, anybody who is willing to follow the directions they have provided can recover. This message of hope is expressed again in the third paragraph on page 17.
"The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism."
In the third paragraph on page 25, the authors explain that, for us, there is no middle ground. We are either going to die of alcoholism or else find a spiritual solution.
"If you are as seriously alcoholic as we were, we believe there is no middle of the road solution. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible, and if we had passed into the region from which there is no return through human aid, we had but two alternatives. One was to go on to the bitter end, blotting out the consciousness of our intolerable situation as best we could, and the other, to accept spiritual help."
In the first paragraph on page 44, the authors describe the alcoholic and then reveal to us what it is going to take to recover. Starting with the fourth line, they write,
"If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer."
To make sure everyone understands what we just read, we are going to read the last line again.
"If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer."
One more time. Only
a spiritual experience will conquer.
We now know what we have to do in order to recover from alcoholism. We must undergo a life-changing spiritual transformation. That's it. Nothing more is required. We realize this is not the answer many of you expected to find in Alcoholics Anonymous, but please keep in mind that alcoholism is a fatal illness. Prior to AA, most alcoholics either died drunk or were locked up in jails or insane asylums. In the second paragraph on page 44, the authors once again inform us of our options.
To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face.
Not only is a spiritual experience possible, it is a guarantee. It is a guarantee. Just keep an open mind and take the steps as described in the Big Book. In the third paragraph on page 44, they disclose that no matter what our present beliefs, there is hope for us.
But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life, or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up! Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted.
We find it amazing that the newcomer can start the AA program without any specific beliefs or, for that matter, without any beliefs whatsoever. All a person needs is, and this is a quote, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness, end of quote, to believe that we believe that this program works. And let's assure you that we do believe. The 12 steps have changed our lives and the lives of thousands of other alcoholics. This program will change your life too if you honestly want to recover from this deadly affliction. Let's see what we can learn about this spiritual solution. In the first paragraph on page 45, the Big Book authors state,
lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral. And it means, of course, that we are going to talk about God.
We're going to talk about God?
We're going to talk about God.
Whoa. That's putting it right out there on the table, isn't it? In the second paragraph on page 46, the authors ask us to develop our own concept of God. In other words, they want us to find a God of our own understanding.
Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men.
The Big Book authors have just told us we are going to take some actions that will lead us into the realm of the spirit. Our personalities will change from self-centered to God-directed. Our lives will change from the material to the spiritual. As we said earlier, Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious program. We're free to call this power by any name we wish, as long as it is a power greater than ourselves. The Big Book authors use many different names for this power, including creative intelligence, universal mind, spirit of the universe, creator, and the great reality, among others. Quite a few times they call this power God, but they use the word God merely for convenience rather than for any religious purpose. Please refer to this power by any name that you believe in or that you feel comfortable with. So in order to recover from alcoholism, we have to find a power greater than ourselves. But where are we to find this power? The authors answered this question in the second paragraph and the third paragraphs on page 55.
Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other it is here. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup just as much as the feelings we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found.
These are dramatic and for some of us revolutionary concepts. Let us summarize them for you. First, the authors of the Big Book announce that they have found a way to free us from the bondage of alcoholism. Next, they describe the solution as a power greater than ourselves. Then they disclose where to find this power right inside each and every one of us. So now we know where to find this power. Much of the rest of the Big Book is devoted to the question of how to find this power. Basically, we find the spirit of the universe by taking the 12 steps. These steps are found on pages 59 and 60. Please follow along with us as we read the steps to you. In addition, we're going to give you the page numbers where each step is located in the book. And yes, we have mimeographed copies of the steps that we handed out before the meeting. So please follow along with us as we read the steps to you along with the directions.
Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. The step is described on Roman numeral pages 25 through 32 and on pages 1 through 43. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. This step is described on pages 44 through 60. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. This step is described on pages 60 through 63. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. This step is described on pages 63 through 71. Step 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. This step is described on pages 72 through 75. Step 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. This step is described on pages 75 through 76. Step 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. This step is described on page 76. Step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. This step is described on page 76. Step 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. This step is described on pages 76 through 84. Step 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. This step is described on pages 84 and 85. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. This step is described on pages 85 through 88. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. This step is described on pages 89 through 103 and pages 567 and 568.
Let's begin with the first step.
Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable.
Surrender is essential in order to recover from alcoholism. The Big Book authors devote 51 pages of the book to the first part of the surrender process, which is to admit we have a problem. The authors begin by describing the physical and mental symptoms of alcoholism. Later, they ask us to acknowledge that we are alcoholics. Before we can do this, we need to know what an alcoholic is. Much of the doctor's opinion is based on two letters written by Dr. William D. Silkworth, a physician at Towns Hospital in New York City. In the late 1930s, very little was known about alcoholism, but much of what Dr. Silkworth wrote then is still relevant today. In the first paragraph on Roman numeral page 25, that's XXV, Dr. Silkworth describes how Bill W., one of the co-founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, recovered from alcoholism. Bill once had been a well-respected Wall Street stock analyst, but he had lost everything because of his drinking.
In late 1934, I attended a patient who, though he had been a competent businessman of good earning capacity, was an alcoholic of a type I had come to regard as hopeless. In the course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. I personally know scores of cases who were of the type with whom other methods had failed completely.
For several years prior to 1934, Dr. Silkworth had been treating alcoholics at Towns Hospital with very little success. Then during his third trip to the hospital, Bill discovers the spiritual solution to alcoholism, which he helps develop into the AA program. One of the things Bill is told while in Towns Hospital is that he had to work with other alcoholics in order to stay sober himself. He also learns that alcoholism is a physical and a mental illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer. In the first paragraph on Roman numeral page 26, XXVI, the author confirms that Dr. Silkworth is well aware of the physical aspects of alcoholism.
The physician who, at our request, gave us this letter has been kind enough to enlarge upon his views in another statement which follows. In this statement, he confirms that we who have suffered alcoholic torture must believe that the body of the alcoholic is quite as abnormal as his mind. It did not satisfy us to be told that we could not control our drinking just because we were maladjusted to life, that we were in full flight from reality, or we were outright mental defectives. These things were true to some extent, in fact, to a considerable extent with some of us. But we are sure that our bodies were sickened as well. In our belief, any picture of the alcoholic which leaves out this physical factor is incomplete.
Let's look at this abnormal physical reaction to alcohol. Alcohol is a poison. The normal reaction to alcohol is to have one or two drinks and stop. Honest, that is the normal reaction to alcohol, to have one or two drinks and stop. But the alcoholic reaction is much different. We have one or two drinks just to get started. In the fifth paragraph on Roman numeral page 30, XXX, Dr. Silkworth tells us that because of this abnormal reaction, we must refrain from drinking.
All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence.
Well, so much for the alcoholic ever becoming a social drinker again. Abstinence might work if alcoholism was only a physical illness, but Dr. Silkworth found that alcoholism has a mental component as well. In addition to an abnormal physical reaction, we have a mental obsession. Our minds tell us we are okay, even as alcohol is bringing us closer and closer to death. No matter how much we may want to stop, sooner or later, we will return to drinking. In his letter, Dr. Silkworth characterizes this mental obsession on Roman numeral page 28, XXVIII. Please keep in mind, Dr. Silkworth is talking about alcoholics when he writes in the fourth paragraph.
Men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot, after a time, differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable, and discontented unless they can again experience the sense of ease and comfort which comes at once by taking a few drinks, drinks which they see others taking with impunity.
On page 30, starting with the fourth line in the first paragraph, the Big Book authors describe how this mental obsession kills so many of us.
Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death.
The authors further emphasize the mental obsession in the second paragraph on page 34. They state that no matter how strong our willpower or conviction, we cannot stop drinking on our own.
For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish.
You see, if our minds didn't deceive us into thinking it's okay to drink, we would never trigger the physical craving for more and more alcohol. So we have an abnormal reaction of the body and an obsession of the mind, which dooms us to an alcoholic death. Back on Roman numeral page 29, XXIX, Dr. Silkworth tells us our only hope is a life-changing conversion experience. Starting with the third line down from the top of the page, he writes,
"After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery."
So a prominent doctor in the field of alcoholism states that the medical community cannot help us. Our only hope is a spiritual awakening. Now let's move on to Bill's story. In this chapter, we learn more about the physical and mental aspects of alcoholism and more about the spiritual solution. Some people have difficulty identifying with Bill because he was such a low-bottom, hopeless alcoholic. Here, as elsewhere in the book, we ask that you look for similarities rather than differences. See where you can identify with Bill as he continues to use alcohol long after it has become a problem. In the first seven pages, Bill describes the progressive nature of his drinking. In the 1920s, he was a successful Wall Street stock analyst. In a few short years, he loses everything. He becomes an unemployed, hopeless alcoholic. In the first paragraph on page 8, Bill has a moment of clarity. He realizes he is powerless over alcohol, he is licked, he is defeated.
"No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Quicksand stretched around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master."
Bill cannot stop drinking on this admission alone. In late November 1934, an old high school chum, Ebby T., visits him. Bill is drunk. Ebby has been sober for several months. When Bill asks Ebby how he stopped drinking, Ebby tells him, quote, "I've got religion," end of quote. Bill is shocked, but he lets Ebby continue because, as he writes, this is another quote, "My gin would last longer than his preaching," end of quote. But Ebby doesn't preach to Bill. Instead, he describes a group of people he has recently met who practice two-way prayer. They conduct a daily quiet time, listen to the spirit of the universe, write down the guidance they receive, and carry out the messages that pass the test of honesty, purity, unselfishness, and love. This organization is called the Oxford Group. This life-changing fellowship practices four spiritual activities. These are:
1. Surrender, AA's first, second, and third steps. 2. Sharing, AA's fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh steps. 3. Restitution, AA's eighth and ninth steps. And 4. Guidance, AA's 10th, 11th, and 12th steps.
Abby provides Bill with the Oxford Group solution. For the first time, Bill realizes he can change his life by turning his will over to a God of his understanding. Soon after Abby's visit, Bill checks into town's hospital. There, under the direction of Dr. Silkworth, Bill is physically withdrawn from alcohol for the third time that year. While in the hospital, Bill applies these four spiritual activities to his problem with alcohol. In the second paragraph on page 13, Bill makes a complete surrender.
There I humbly offered myself to God, as I then understood him, to do with me as he would. I placed myself unreservedly under his care and direction.
Immediately after his surrender, Bill begins sharing his inventory of character liabilities with Ebby. Starting with the second line in the second paragraph on page 13, Bill writes,
I ruthlessly faced my sins and became willing to have my newfound friend take them away, root and branch. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies.
When Bill states, I ruthlessly faced my sins, he uses the Oxford Group definition for the word sin, which is anything that separates us from God or from one another. Selfish self-centeredness is the cause. We free ourselves from these shortcomings by following God's will rather than relying upon self-will. Starting with the second line in the third paragraph on page 13, Bill agrees to make restitution.
We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability.
In the fourth paragraph on page 13, Bill gets quiet, listens to the God of his understanding, and follows guidance. These activities are essential for establishing a two-way relationship with the Spirit of the universe.
I was to test my thinking by the new God consciousness within. Common sense would thus become uncommon sense. I was to sit quietly when in doubt, asking only for direction and strength to meet my problem as he would have me.
On page 14, starting with the second line in the sixth paragraph, Abby explains the necessity of working with others.
Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. Faith without works was dead, he said, and how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. If he did not work, he would surely drink again. And if he drank, he would surely die. Then faith would be dead indeed. With us, it is just like that.
Bill takes the actions prescribed by the Oxford Group and has a sudden conversion experience. He has the entire psychic change Dr. Silkworth talks about, in the doctor's opinion. In the second paragraph on page 14, Bill describes his spiritual awakening.
These were revolutionary and drastic proposals, but the moment I fully accepted them, the effect was electric. There was a sense of victory, followed by such a peace and serenity as I have never known. There was utter confidence. I felt lifted up as though the great clean wind of a mountaintop blew through and through. God comes to most men gradually, but his impact on me was sudden and profound.
Bill makes direct contact with the Spirit of the universe and recovers from alcoholism. He hasn't had a drink since. There is additional material within these 51 pages of the Big Book that further explains the physical and mental symptoms of alcoholism and how our drinking has become unmanageable. Wow, let's do that again. And how our lives have become unmanageable as a result of our drinking. If you need more proof, please read on. All we've done is illuminate some of the highlights. However, we hope we've shown you enough for you to proceed. Now it's time for us to begin our personal journeys towards the spiritual awakening that will change our lives. Let's see who's ready to take the first step. Step one.
We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable.
The Big Book authors tell us exactly what we have to do. In the second paragraph on page 30, they write,
we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed.
So in order to smash the delusion that we're not alcoholics, we're going to ask each of you to answer a simple question. Are you ready to concede to your innermost self that you are powerless over alcohol? In other words, are you an alcoholic? All that is required is a yes or no answer. If you have reservations about taking the first step, please let us know. Your sponsor or sharing partner is willing to spend time with you this week to discuss your uncertainty. We want to give you every opportunity to comprehend the devastating consequences of this terrible affliction. Maybe you don't believe you are an alcoholic. Maybe you think you're here by mistake. We just want you to know we'd rather be inside the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous by mistake than outside the fellowship drinking and dying by mistake is something to think about. Now, will those who are ready to take the first step please stand? This is the first step question. That's the newcomers, and if the sponsors would like to take the first step along with the newcomers, please stand. The first step question is,
do you concede to your innermost self that you are an alcoholic?
Now please answer one at a time, yes or no. After you've answered, please be seated.
Yes.
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 Those who answered yes have taken the first step. Nothing more is required. Let's give ourselves a hand.
Woo!
Wow. That's enough for tonight. In the past hour, we have covered 51 pages of the Big Book and taken the first step. This is a remarkable accomplishment. Congratulations. Next week, we'll present steps 2, 3, and 4. We'll take the second and third steps during the meeting, and we'll provide you with guidelines for taking the fourth step. You will complete your four-step inventory and share it with another person between the second and the third sessions. Are there any questions?